here's a question for you. Is marriage overrated?
Why aren't people getting married anymore?
A new Pew Research poll found that 2 in 5 young adults think marriage is an outdated tradition.
Marriage rates are at their lowest right now.
Is marriage really even worth it?
More than half of marriages end in divorce.
If you get married, you have to be stuck with this person for the rest of your life, right? That's why you get married. So that's why it's declining. Why would you get married if you want to have just one partner when you can have multiple?
Marriage is stupid.
Welcome to the Married AF Podcast, the self-proclaimed greatest and most impactful relationship and marriage podcast in the world. Here we are again. We are your hosts, Matthew and Monica Powers. We're back for another episode of season 3, episodes 30-something, maybe 40. I don't know how many we've gone, but hey, we are here.
We're back.
We are back.
You've got to stop saying that.
But I like it because we are back. It's not our fault that people are missing out on the greatness that has already ensued. It's their responsibility to go back and actually listen to it. Therefore, we are back. I see the disgust on your face. Maybe at some point in time I'll actually change it. So we're back again for another episode. I just want to thank everyone who has listened, who has reviewed, who's subscribed, who's liked, who's done all of the amazing things. The outpour of just kind of traction that this has had is overwhelming and crazy.
It's more than we've ever
even thought or imagined or this and that. And it's all because of the people who listen. And I think today's episode will probably even attract more ears because this is the one that all the people always want to talk about. They always want to hear about. They always want to know about. But no one ever actually wants to talk about this themselves with their spouses.
No.
Because we're talking about that three-letter word that everyone wants, everyone craves, everyone thinks about, but nobody wants to talk about.
Which is so surprising.
It is.
Sex.
We are talking about sex because
it's not a dirty word.
No, it's actually a very important word. It's very important for the marriage. It's very important between the husband and the wife. Yet we are so scared to death to actually talk about it. And I don't know why, but we're going to try and dissect some of that today and try and to enrich that part of our lives because that is a huge part that can really help, you know, be detrimental to the marriage and can really lead to many, many bad things. And the reason, you know, one of the reasons why divorce is so high.
Yeah.
So it
just makes me think of this stupid girl.
Multiple partners.
Why would you get married if like you can have multiple partners? And I mean, you're just stuck with one.
Exactly. It's not supposed to be stuck with one. And really that's the whole idea.
Stuck.
When we you know created the small group now into a podcast and to what it is now, Married AF. Yep, we've gotten so much hate mail about AF. People absolutely hate it. How can you do that? You know what that means.
How can you be a Christian and say you're married AF?
Well, and it's, you know, sorry people, but get your minds out the gutter because that's not exactly what it is for.
Sounds like you have more of a problem with it than we do.
Because it's married as followers. And the misconception is that being married as a follower of Jesus is vanilla and bland and boring and not exciting. You're not going to enjoy each other. You're not going to laugh. You're not going to have fun. You're not going to have sex. None of that's going to exist. That's the misconception that people have about people who do love Jesus and follow Jesus and do have Jesus at the center of their marriage, that they're bland and they don't get to have any type of fun whatsoever.
They have not met us.
No, it's the complete wrong misconception of it all, which, in fact, that's the reason I have the Bible here, because if you actually read this thing, it talks about sex.
Oh, there's a big it does. Sex scene, and nobody wants to talk about that.
I mean, Song of Solomon, just go there if you want to. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it starts off talking about marriage and talking about sex, and it says it is good for a man. Yeah, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immortality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sex, essentially. All the men who listen to this, ears perked up.
Yes.
And they're going to remember this. And this is going to be the one where we are going
to
point to this one.
They're going to send this episode to their wife.
Yes. Like, oh my gosh, the Bible says we are supposed to have sex. We need to have sex. This needs to be something we actually need to do. The Bible does talk about it.
And do you think there are any men that are withholding it from their wife?
Surely not. There's only one documented case I've ever known about that, and it's when Michael Scott was going to withhold sex from Jan unless she gave him the raise that he wanted. I don't think so, but probably so, because I do have some numbers in here of a study that was done about people who do have no interest in sex, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But sex is so important, and it's incredible, and it's amazing, and we should be having it. And it's one of the not talking about it and being afraid of it is one of the reasons why couples don't have it. And I think, at church today, Brandon Matthews said it so great, about how you're going to, you want it. That's why you get married. You want it. And he talked about how there hasn't been a spark in like 10 years. And it's because we give our spouses our leftovers.
Yes. Priorities are mixed up.
Priorities are all jacked up. So we're not having sex. So the question needs to be asked, because I think it's on most people's minds. How much sex are we supposed to actually be having?
Well, I think that just depends on all kinds of different situations.
It does. But on average, because I think men will think, oh, well, it's supposed to be this much. And there will be a different dynamic of what they believe and how much sex they should actually be having. But we've talked about this at length in our small groups, especially. So there have been research done, there have been studies done, and we found the numbers to be actually probably pretty, what people would actually think they would be as far as how often people should be having sex. What are those?
Let me look at my notes you got me here. Okay, so this is a study from 50,000 Americans. All right. There are 54 times per year.
So out of 50,000 Americans that were asked, on average, they're having sex 54 times a year, just over one time a week.
So you get extra booty on your birthday.
Birthday and anniversary booty. Maybe. Both birthday booties. There you go.
They're both birthday booties.
you get extra birthday booty, and that's it.
Do people really celebrate their anniversaries? I mean, I feel like they should be.
You should celebrate your anniversary. It's a good
one. I mean, I can't be mad at people who don't, because
we're bad at celebrating our anniversary because we
don't necessarily celebrate, but we do. But it's not the way that a typical person would celebrate. Oh, today's our anniversary, blah, blah, blah.
No, we don't do it in a way of, okay, well, we're going to do flowers. We're going to go out to eat. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's more of a, hey, here's another great milestone in our marriage. Let's go next.
Let's do something fun.
Let's go to the next that. Because not to sound corny or cheesy, every single day is worth the celebration.
It's supposed to be that way.
It is. That's why we hate Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day to me is a very consumerism holiday that is only there to make money for large organizations. should not be the one day a year you actually show love to your spouse.
Right. Well, let's continue to go off of these statistics. Couples who have sex less than once a week feel less fulfilled.
Yes. And actually, the study went on a little more that they learned that people who have sex more than once a week don't necessarily feel more fulfilled, but people who have less sex are less fulfilled.
I could see that. Because if you're a horny person.
Yeah.
And you're getting it a couple times a week, your mind's not thinking about it as much.
You're right. That's not what's constantly
something
running through your mind all day, every day, where you are able to be more focused on other important things of your life and not just that one thing that, everyone is actually chasing.
Or you think about the person you're with way more.
That's what it should be.
Because I feel like that's how it is for us.
Oh, I totally agree.
Because I'll be like, I can't wait to see you when you get home today.
Yeah, we have the eyes for each other. But it's because this is an important part of the relationship, and it's something we talk about. And, it's something we pay real good attention to.
Because we like it.
Absolutely, we like it, most certainly.
The like is a very bad word. It's a love situation.
Oh, it's a love. It is. It's fantastic.
Well, here's another question. How long should it last?
Yeah, that's there's a huge misconception. And I think, thinking back to like the younger days when men think, oh, well, I can go for this long and I can do it. Well, we've learned that that's not the case.
That is not even close. Every man that was, and that said that they were that way. Were they fighting off being drugged from NyQuil or something?
It's possible. They took the Tylenol PMs and that was, I don't know.
That's why he lasted so long, bro, because you're trying to stay awake. Doing
your best to not fall asleep. So another study that was done, how long should it last? What did the study?
It was from 500 couples.
Okay.
The average American, 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
5 minutes. 5 minutes.
What?
5 minutes. So
average.
So anyone out there who's thinking like, oh my gosh, I got to be able to do this and this. 5 minutes is the average.
Look, if you have kids, it's kind of hard to find time.
Listen, especially if you have younger children.
Who are always constantly wanting to be with you. And hours.
And those of you who do have younger children, you know, it's near impossible to get a minute by yourself. I mean, you can't even go to the bathroom without like little fingers coming underneath the door. Hey, what are you doing? What's going on? Hey, I need this. I need that. I'm thirsty. I'm this.
With the door closed. What are you talking about?
You can't. So I get that.
If you need to sneak in the closet, hey, the average time is 5 minutes.
5 minutes. An episode of Bluey, you're good to go. I'm just saying. Just saying. It's an option. I mean,
they'll be okay for 5 minutes.
They'll be okay for 5 minutes. Bluey's.
Maybe 5 minutes and 30 seconds because you're going to have to get things off and get them back on. You know?
Maybe so.
But it ranges. The range of this the timing. Range has
always been fantastic.
It's even funny to even think about.
It is.
33 seconds.
33 seconds was the low end.
To 44 minutes.
To 44 minutes. So, you know, the average there, again, is 5 minutes. But, man, the 33 seconds.
I really hope his reboot time is...
impressive? Maybe so. So, just to kind of recap
maybe
that...
Maybe he's been away from his wife for a long time.
Maybe so. Long time on business.
Yes. You know. Overseas, in the military, things like that. I completely understand that.
Who knows? But this... misconception that we have that it's supposed to be this amount of times and last this long and be this and be that. You heard the numbers, and I know it's statistics, I know it's data, but data usually doesn't lie. And this is what it is. Average of essentially once a week for about 5 minutes per week. It's essentially what it's boiling down to, like 5 minutes.
No wonder people feel like they're unfulfilled.
A week, yes. And now this can vary and it can change because there are certain situations that... You know, maybe you're not able to. You know, we talked last episode about your surgery.
We went 11 weeks.
We did. We ended up going 11 weeks because of the surgery. And there are different health instances, work issues, like you said. If, you know, someone's in the military, someone's traveling, whatever it may be, different work schedules, whatever it could be, there can be different health and relationship dynamics that play a huge part into the sexual relationship. And it's important to do what we always talk about. I feel like this is a constant thing on every episode. Talk about it.
Communication is the key to every situation possible.
Talk about it. And listen, if there are times where you want it and your spouse doesn't, you need to be able to have that conversation. You need to be able to have that talk. If your spouse wants it and you just can't, for whatever reason, you're not in the mood, you just don't have it in you, whatever, talk about it. Talk about it. Don't make the excuse.
I can't tonight. I have such a headache.
Yeah. And don't pull this, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I have a headache. Don't
Five minutes is all you need.
Well, also, don't pull that crap if you're going to be laying in bed on your phone for 2 hours scrolling Instagram or scrolling TikTok. Don't pull that nonsense because what you're telling your spouse at that time is that someone else's life and someone else and something is way more important than their actual needs.
And they're not even, you probably don't even know the people.
Oh, most likely you don't. But I think
especially when you're like, here, look at this.
Yeah. Well, like you just shut me down 15 minutes ago and now you're all giggly and happy and laughing at this stupid video that you're watching. What is that communicating to your spouse? Even though if you're not intentionally doing that, what is that communicating to them and telling them that, hey, what's happening online is way more important than what's going on with you?
That's exactly what it is. Priorities are jacked up.
priorities are all jacked up. And what that does, and kind of on the flip side of that, is where if you do want it and your spouse doesn't for whatever reason, how do you act whenever that doesn't take place? So I think what happens is a lot of people will get defensive.
Are you asking me down. That question?
No, I'm just asking in general.
Because I've never been turned down by you.
This is true.
I don't know how to answer
you
that
question.
You
can't answer that question. Because
pros and cons, right. I mean, it's pros
not,
and cons,
not necessarily the truth, but yeah,
I
just kind of.
I mean, have I ever done that to you?
What?
Here, I don't want to have sex with you tonight, but I'm going to lay in the bed and scroll TikTok, and I don't have TikTok. I can't even lie.
Scroll this or scroll that.
Whatever.
You know, do anything else other than your? No, you absolutely have not.
Usually, it's a. You don't want this right now.
Yeah,
I'm coming at you guns hot. You do.
Don't you come at me guns hot.
You don't want this. It's not a, I don't want it. You don't want, I'm helping you out in that situation. Now, besides the times where I've been actually injured or from surgeries and.
Yeah, whatever it may be. But it kind of goes back to what just says in 1 Corinthians, do not deprive each other. So where there are instances where, listen, you may be ready to go, but it just ain't going to happen tonight. That's fine. It's acceptable.
Well, I mean,
thinking
about the times yes, life does get in the way. And I mean, we've experienced that this week in our own personal lives.
Oh, absolutely.
Where
yeah.
we've had to shift gears because of some unexpected things happening. But you do have to come back to it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at is if you do get shut down or you do shut your spouse down, that's fine, and that's acceptable, and you should be able to talk to it, but it can't happen the next night, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next, and then the next. You do.
It's
do
not
need
a
to,
continuous thing.
You need to circle back to this and be like, "Hey, I know two nights ago, let's go." You know, that needs to be really the mentality of it. So, whenever you have this sexual imbalance and you just can't seem to get on the same page about it. Just some signs that can be seen to where, hey, we need to actually talk about this because we're scared to death to talk about sex.
But why?
I don't know. You know, I think that in the, you know, when we were growing up, it was just, it's like, that's a bad word. It's something we're not going to talk about. You know, it's taken out of everywhere. And it's just like, hey, this is bad.
Now it's in everything.
And now it's the complete
still,
opposite in
yeah,
the section.
But people don't talk about it.
No, they don't talk about it. It's just kind of in your face. And I think that, you know, when it comes to us as parents, it's our job to teach our children.
Yes. We are very open with our children.
Yeah, hey, we'll talk about it.
We told our youngest way sooner than we wanted to, but you know, animals mate and they see that and they want to know what's happening.
Hey, why are those rhinoceroses wrestling right there? What is going on here?
One on the top of the other one?
Okay, let's have an actual conversation about this now. But, you know, if we teach our children and we teach the next generation and they teach theirs the proper what sex is supposed to be, how it was created, how it was meant to be, you're going to be able to have a much better sexual relationship with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
You just are.
No matter how many partners you want to go for.
Yeah, and I want to, you know, just because we've talked about this before with different social issues and this and that. And, oh, well, it, you know, based off this situation and that situation, well, if it's this type of thing or that type of thing, we have all these different rules. And I just want to say, if we were to go back to the very beginning and go to the actual soul root, the foundation of this all, if we were to do things the way God designed them, all these other circumstances and all these other issues would have never existed in the first place. It would never be anything for us to actually worry about. You know, multiple partners or the, you know, idea of an abortion or this or that. None of that would ever happen if we did it the way God designed.
Yeah. People stop whoring around. We wouldn't have to worry about things like that.
You're not wrong.
Sex is good.
It is. And it should.
Sex is great.
You should have sex with your partner. So some signs.
When you're married.
Yes. When you're married. Whenever you do it the way God designed, it's incredible.
And I really honestly know. Maybe two people that saved themselves from marriage.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the second person, though.
Tim Tebow.
I don't know him.
I'm just saying. That's all I got.
Good for Tim. I don't know you, Tim. Hi.
that's all I got. But
if you come on our show, and then we'll
definitely discuss that.
Then I'll tell people I know you. Yeah, I know three people that has waited for.
But when you really think about it, that's incredible. That's something that personal, that intimate,
yes,
that you saved it for the one person that you were supposed to save it for. That's incredible. It really is. So when we talk about not being on the same page, kind of an imbalance in what the sexual expectation is, one, it's always the conversation when you have those talks. But I think, you know, as we mentioned, you know, shut down, not in the mood tonight, but I'm gonna lay in bed, I'm gonna watch my phone all night long. I think those are certain signs. When you see kind of the distance and not being able to talk, you know, maybe not sitting with each other, not holding hands, not hugging each other, not kissing each other, just in a general sense, in a non-sexual way, I think those are some warning signs of a sexual imbalance. Mm-hmm. I also think that maybe whenever you're shorter with each other and you're kind of snappy with each other, that again shows a sign of sexual imbalance. The sad part of it is, and this is the study I was talking about, 2017 study found, some people just are not interested in sex at all, which blows my mind. But this study found that 34% of women
and 15%
of men have no interest in sex at all. Period.
Why don't they need to find some kind of, I'm going to say this out loud and it'll be a thing tomorrow, but maybe that needs to be the new dating app for all the people who are not interested in sex. Hey, let's date.
Yeah.
Let's got nothing to lose.
Date. Let's
don't have to worry about, you know.
Let's actually hang out with each other, which really reality, this whole idea of dating, that kind of is what should be about, not about the sex. It should be about the person. Look at that.
Mm.
What a concept. But when you do go through those times of where you're just not on the same level sexually, and it's going to happen in your marriage. I mean, it's going to ebb and flow where you just can't seem to meet. You just can't seem to get it together.
Like after a pregnancy.
After a pregnancy. After a surgery. It's rough
getting back into that.
It is.
Swing of things after you have a newborn.
Yeah. It's. I mean, your body.
It happened to us twice.
I mean, you know, for women especially, your body completely changes.
Yes.
It's completely altered kind of its shape. And, you know, there can be self-confidence issues that happen.
I see that a lot.
And that's a real thing. I don't think men understand it because men are like, I don't care. I still
no. Yeah. Well, that's something that's not communicated.
No, it's not.
And women are not going to tell their husbands they don't like what they look. They will be happy to tell some other girl, well, I have this. This is like their husbands won't understand. No, they're not going to understand if you don't tell them. But I see it all the time. I don't want him to see me like this. Girl, it's 5 minutes. Turn the lights off. Have sex. Jeez.
Could have said it better myself.
Stop worrying about yourself and get yours and give him his.
Yes. He's still there. He still desires you.
He wants it whether you think you are fat. The body shaming thing is just so frustrating.
And man, just a little hint of advice here. Let your wife know how amazing she looks to you. Let her know how much you want her. Let her know how much you desire her, not even in the avenue to try and get sex out of her, but just to let her know how beautiful she is to you, because that will help break down those walls of self-confidence that, you know, if that is an actual issue that may be there. Does it say
why they don't like sex?
No, it just says they don't have any interest in sex whatsoever. And, you know, there could be a wide range. I mean, there could be trauma from a childhood. We don't know. And I'm sure that is a small percentage of it.
Most of the time for women, when they're sexually mistreated as children, they want it more.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the case or the logistics behind that, but maybe there's an imbalance there and that's just what they know. And
it is.
It become comfortable for them, so they want it all the time.
And that could be it. And again, those are traumas that don't need to go not talked about or kind of left just by themselves. But those are things that actually need to be discussed, need to brought out. I mean, that's why counseling can be so important and so helpful, because you can actually bring those out and be able to talk about them. So if you're on different pages for sex and you have different desires and different this and different that, as we always talk, communication. But there's several different strategies that you can take to be able to do this. We are not these people at all, but I do know it works for people. But like, schedule it. Put it on the calendar. Like, hey,
pencil this, me in, baby.
This write that sucker in pen so it can't be erased. Put it on the Google calendar. Send the calendar invite. Whatever works for you. But put it on the calendar. Make it a priority. Now, again, that may not be for everybody. That's not us. We don't schedule it. We don't have to schedule it, which is great. It's more of a spontaneous thing.
It's like, but, hey, I'm naked.
It's like, hey, let's go. Pull the naked man. Pull the naked man. It works every single time.
For me. And
yes. I think women, it works 100% of the time. Men, maybe not so much. But
I'm sorry. That was just too funny.
Pull the naked man if you need to, or the naked woman. But if you do need to schedule it. Do whatever it takes to kind of get you going. Now, one thing that we speak to couples about and we talk about is the whole idea of the menu. And this is the greatest example I have ever heard. We heard this from a marriage conference. It was Pastor Mark Driscoll.
Mm-hmm.
Laid this out, and I was like, this is revolutionary. This is incredible. I've never heard it explained this way, but it's perfect. So this idea of the menu. So when you go to a restaurant, obviously there are menus to look at. Doesn't matter the restaurant, you always have a menu to look at. When you go to really nice restaurants or non-chain restaurants and more local restaurants, they will usually have what's called a test kitchen. You know, when we go to Boston, I know Legal Seafood is kind of a chain. It's a phenomenal place.
I love
Legal. We love it. You know, the one restaurant we go to is right there on the Boston Harbor, sit on the patio. It's incredible seafood. But just around the corner, they have the Legal Seafood Test Kitchen. And if you don't know what a test kitchen is just simply a restaurant or a part of the kitchen where they're saying, hey, we need to freshen up the menu a little bit. We need to add this. We need to add that. And they're trying out recipes. And you can go to restaurants and just even ask sometimes, you know, what's in the test kitchen? And they'll, you know, if they're trying something out, they're going to test it and they're going to serve it to people and try and get feedback to decide, should this go on the menu or not? Is this a good dish? Is it a bad dish? Your sexual menu is no different. So all of us, we all have appetizers that are on the menu. You know, there are certain appetizers.
If you can get to the appetizers within the 5 minutes, yeah.
Yes. You know, there are appetizers on the menu, and there may be one. Hopefully there's more than one. There may be one, two. Maybe there's a handful of appetizers. You know, maybe you like the Cheesecake Factory, and that sucker's full.
Can't look at everything on the menu because it's
that. But you have your appetizers. You have your main course. You have dessert. You have your menu for sex that you have with your spouse, okay? Sometimes that menu can become, you have an appetizer, maybe you have a main course. That's it. That's all you got. Your sexual test kitchen.
But this also comes with open, honest, no judgment communication.
So you need to be able to go to your spouse and you need to be able to have this agreement of the test kitchen and say, hey, this has been on my mind. I want to try this. I want to do this. You know, I want you hanging from the ceiling like a circus. I don't know. But you need to say, hey, I got to try this. I want this. This is something that I've really been wanting to try. This needs to go into the test kitchen. And obviously, they do need to be pure non-negotiables.
Yes.
For even the test kitchen. I mean, there can be nothing that's going to harm either person. There can be nothing that will harm the relationship. You know, I don't recommend, you don't need to bring someone else
no.
in or anything crazy like that. There should be hardcore non-negotiables, but there also needs to be a really open variety that's not going to harm your relationship. So you need to be able to go to your spouse and say, hey, I want this on the test kitchen. We need to try this out. And your spouse has to be able to say, all right, we'll give it a shot. This will go on the test kitchen. And you need to actually go out and try the dish. And then talk about it afterwards.
Yes, because that's the only way you're going to know if you like something or not.
Yeah, and it may be.
Because you can go, abso-freaking-lutely not, Powers.
Yeah.
Why would you even think that? Where's your brain been this week?
Yeah. But it needs to be a conversation about the test kitchen. And, you know, we talk about it. We have that conversation. It leads into that. And then you're like, you know what? That was okay. Let's keep that in the test kitchen for a little while.
Let's try it a different way. Let's make it with a different sauce.
Yeah, exactly. Let's try maybe a little different spice here or there. But hey, we're going to keep this in the test kitchen a little longer. You may have the circumstance like, oh my God, this is the greatest dish we've ever had.
Never
this
eating
is
anything
going
else.
On the main menu right at the top. This is going to be highlighted. This is going to be a go-to. And then you're going to have the test kitchen where it's like, that was bad. That was awful. This is not going on the menu. This is going off the test kitchen. But at least you know, at least you tried it. At least you were able to have a conversation with each other about it to be able to actually put it on there and give it a shot, because you never know what great things may actually be able to come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for your sex life, but for you two, you know, together, how much closer it may actually bring you to each other. So the menu, the test kitchen, it is so, so important.
I agree.
And it is so beneficial. So my recommendation to everybody, talk about the menu with your spouse.
No judgment.
There. No judgment. No. I mean, if you come to me with something wild and crazy, again, as long as it is not harmful to us, like physically, and does not harm our relationship, okay.
Let's try it.
Let's give it a shot. Let's see if this is going to be. And you may go into it thinking, what in the world is she talking about? But I love my spouse more than anyone else in the world.
I'm going to give her what she wants.
And if this is something they want, you know what? I love them and I trust them. So yeah, I'm gonna see this through with them.
Look, it's just like you going to any fabric craft store. You absolutely hate those places. Yeah. I know you hate those places, but I want to go to those places, but I also want to spend time with you. So you suffer through the however hours I spend there just looking, not even to buy something.
Oh, I know.
Because you love me.
Yes. And whether that's the way it should be, and I've said this before to multiple people, I would rather go and do something I don't like doing with you than go do something that I really like doing all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would rather spend time with you.
Like all those wrestling matches, that the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of matches.
You're right.
You had zero care about anything that happened with wrestling.
None.
But you were at every single one.
Yeah, because it was you.
Because we were together.
And that's what matters.
Most of the time, everywhere we went, they thought you were the wrestler, not me.
They did.
Which was great. It made you feel good. You know it did.
That's right.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm the dude.
That's right.
But those are things that you can, it's the same thing as the test kitchen.
Yeah.
There, and sometimes you might even, like you've made, like with the wrestling situation, you made good friends.
Yes, I did. Some really good people there.
You now, never know what you might find and what you might get out of it.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, you know, sexually, you need to be open to these conversations and different things. You know, talk about, you know, what you're thinking and fantasies and this and that to try out the test kitchen. But also even in a non-sexual way, what does that intimacy look like? In other words, because it is a natural need for women to have affection. Mm-hmm. Sex is a natural need for men. It's just something we need. But affection is something that women need. And men, this is where we have to step up and be able to show our women affection. And that may mean going to the fabric store and spending time with them, show them affection. You know, hold their hand in public, give them a hug, give them a kiss, something like that. But you should show them affection without the intent being sex.
Yes.
Sex may be a result of it, but you should never go in with that intention.
This is also where love languages come in to play very big. Because you could bring home something, a gift for me, and I'm, oh, yay. What am I supposed to do with this?
Not a love language. Same thing for me. You know, gifts are great. I love them and everything.
Sure.
Just it doesn't do it for me.
You can also tell me 1,000 times how incredible I look and wherever we're going. Say it's a big event and you're like, oh my God, you look so incredible. Well, it's not that I'm cocky or anything, but if I'm getting all dolled up, mm-hmm, and I look in the mirror, I'm going to go with the outfit I think is best for me. So I don't have to have those reassuring words that you look incredible. I know I do. So you don't have to tell me.
But I can do gifts. I can tell you how amazing you look. But none of that compares to taking out the trash.
That is doing those dishes. Sexy.
Watch out.
Without me telling you. Now, I came home yesterday after a very long day of volleyball. Oh, my God. You had all of the clothes washed, dried, and put away. The only dirty clothes in this house were the ones that are on our body. You had the diffusers going, and it smelled great in here, and everything was clean. Dishes were done. There was trash taken out. That was sexy.
I know. I'm like, you see me over here sweeping. You watch this over here. But I'm going to do that stuff because I love you. All kidding aside, because I love you, it's something that has to get done. I'm available to do it. You shouldn't have to do it because we're a team. We're going to tackle these things together. Right, but
that's my love language.
Yes, and it's so important to know your
partner's love language. Without me having to tell somebody, can you do this? And for you, it's just spending time.
It's just hanging out.
Now, I don't know that physical touch is high up on mine. It might be in the middle. So I don't have to have you physically touching me at all times.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily either. We're probably very similar with that. Mine is probably more. It is. It's just, you know, I could take out in the same room with you. Mm-hmm. That's great. I get to look over and look at you. That's essentially
quality time.
All that I want, just spending quality time with you.
And that again, just makes you want me even more.
It does. And that's part of that non-sexual intimacy, mm-hmm. is understanding the love language, providing that to your spouse and not expecting it to end up with sex. But yeah, that can absolutely be a part of it. And absolutely. When it is, yes.
It's good for both. But also with women, if you come home from work, this is for the guys. This is a big tip. If they are frustrated about what's going on at work and they just need to have an ear to spill all the tea to, be the ear.
Yeah, men, we have a problem with trying to fix everything and provide solutions. It's just the way in which we're wired. Sometimes you don't need a solution.
No, she just wants you to listen. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to tell her she's wrong. Just listen.
And you can even have that conversation before, like, hey, real quick, are you needing my help with this? Or are you just trying to vent to me?
Mm-hmm.
And she'll tell you, I'm just trying to vent. And that's when you listen, you take it in.
It'll be more of a, just listen.
You nod your head. At the end of it, you give her a big hug. You tell her you love her and say, I'm here for you. It's going to be okay. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that it takes. And that's part of
the security. We need to know that we are taken care of.
It is. Security and affection are two huge ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two huge needs for women.
And men don't let their wives know enough that they have them.
You're right.
It doesn't have to be financially. It doesn't have to be any kind of massive thing that people think women want.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a movie about it. What do women want?
What women want. It's Mel Gibson. Great in that movie.
They want to be taken care of. They want to know that they have someone in their corner. They might think that they might admit that they are the strong, independent woman and I don't need a man to develop. Whatever.
Listen, I'm gonna say this, and I know it's controversial, and we'll get out of here. We need to wrap up. God made Adam, said that's not good. Everything else God made was great. He made Adam, said, well, that's not good. And he made Eve. And whenever he made Eve, he said, I will make a helper for the man.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And it was good.
And it was good. And there's a misconception of, well, all the woman's just the helper. That's not it at all. The reason why the woman is the helper is because men, we can't do it. We're not good enough to do it. We do need our spouses to be able to make it through life. You know, I hate the whole idea that men and women are equals. We're not. Mm-hmm. We're simply not equals. There are things in this world that men are far better at than women.
Absolutely agree.
And there are things in this world that women are far better at than men.
Absolutely
agree. That's why we need each other,
mm-hmm.
period. We need each other. We are created for relationship. We are created man and woman to be joined together as one. We need each other.
I could not agree more, Mr. Powers.
So That'll do us.
I don't think it's controversial. Well, it's not controversial for me.
No, but I can see that
feminist people will blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, child, but if you are a 150-pound woman and you're 5'5", and I'm in a 9-foot or 9-story building and the bladder only goes to the 8th floor and somebody's going to have to carry me down some floors because I'm injured, it's not going to be the 150-pound, 5-foot woman. It's going to be the 226-foot man carrying me down the stairs.
They are just there.
Period.
We're different. We're equally valuable.
Absolutely.
But we're different. And
that's okay.
And we need each other. We need each other. And when it comes to circle this whole back thing back to sex, for sex, we need each other.
Yep.
And it is a desire that is burning in all of us, and we need each other to be able to feel that desire. So,
and
to
it's
wrap
Adam
up,
and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's not Eve and Eva.
You're right.
It's Adam and Eve.
It's the way
that's
in which
what God wants. And we have a lot of friends that we know that are believers, and they are living that lifestyle. We still love them.
Always.
We're not going to preach at them because it's not going to make heaven bigger.
Well, and at the end of the day, you know, when we talk about the Bible and its truth from front to back, back to front, and some of it's difficult. Some of us, we don't want to talk about. Some of us, it's hard for us to be okay with it all the time because we have these feelings and like, I don't know about that. But it is the living, breathing word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is true from front to back, from back to front. We are going to conform ourselves to this rather than asking God to conform himself to what we want and what we need. And how much do you have to hate somebody to not lovingly speak the truth to them? I know the truth hurts. It can be difficult sometimes. But if you love somebody, you care about somebody, you are going to speak truth to them in a kind, loving manner.
Not degrading them or telling them how wrong they are.
No, you're going to do it out of love.
Because that's not how Jesus would want us to do it.
No, you're going to do it out of love because God loved us, and that's the way we should treat other people, is with love. So to wrap up, have sex. Have sex.
Have a lot of sex. It's only for 5 minutes.
So. Have a lot of sex.
In the bathroom.
5 minutes a week. Let's go.
Turn on an episode of Bluey. I don't know.
But truthfully, talk about the menu. Talk about the menu. Go through your menu. This week, I challenge you. Go through your menu with your spouse. See what's on there. See what you would like to add. I guarantee you do that, and you actually put the effort into it. 3 months from now, it's going to be a game changer. Like, oh my God, what were we missing this entire
girls,
time?
Just tell your man, hey, let's talk about sex. You have their full attention.
Yeah, it ain't going to take long. Even if football, I know it's football season. People love their football. You'd say that football is going to be turned off. All right, let's go. Let's
pause.
Talk. Yes, pause. There's that.
So
that
what did you say? You said, I heard sex.
Yeah, so let's go. All right, let's get out of here. God, we love you. And we're just so thankful for this platform and these opportunities. It all's given to you. Without you, none of it exists. And our prayer is just that you will take whatever you speak through us, that you will reach people who need it, that people's hearts will be open enough to receive your words and just kind of make their lives better, make the marriages better, and just be with them and let them know that your authority is greater than anything that we could ever do. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Play ball.